This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, we got a lot to get to. We're going to dispense with the pleasantries of a Friday. Vibes are up. He's James. I'm Kyle. We got donuts. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we're rocking with you until noon. Okay, so we've got Kings preseason stuff. We've got week 7 of the NFL. We've got a big Niners-Chiefs game. We have Unreal Baseball Theater in Cleveland last night to dive into. But this morning, a report came down from Michael Scotto with Hoops Hype that the Kings have waived Boogie Ellis. What does this mean? And B, was this something that you anticipated happening, James?
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, I have not had this confirmed yet, although Michael Scotto is a very good reporter. I'm going to guess that this is exactly what will happen sometime during today. Number two, I did a deep dive into what Boogie Ellis's Exhibit 10 contract might mean. And it really does come down to like how much guaranteed money do the Kings give him? If it's a true Exhibit 10 contract and he only got between like $5,000 and $75,000, there is a possibility that when he's waived, that they can designate him as an affiliate player, and if he decides to play in the G League, that he will basically go to the Kings G League. He'll play for the Kings G League, but when you waive a player, you open up a door, and that door can be a team claiming him off waivers for their main roster. That could be a team going and signing him to a two-way deal and stealing him away. Even if he goes to your G League affiliate as one of your affiliate players, if another team decides to offer him a two-way contract or promote him to the main roster, they can just swoop in and take him. It's kind of like the NFL's practice squad.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't have like a two-way protection with the Kings.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, the Kings' two-way guys cannot be taken at all.
Because they're under contract.
They are.
The team with the Kings, the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, it's a half-and-half contract, G League, half NBA. So this means that if he does, in fact, get waived, that there's a possibility that he stays in the program. I was under the impression that he was going to have to go through the G League draft process, but look, upon further reading, if his Exhibit 10 is for less than $75,000, then he's actually eligible to go as an affiliate player. But again, we're going to have to wait and see. I do know that there are teams around the league that have been sniffing around him, like whether or not the Kings are going to keep him. And this puts the Kings roster, I mean, they still have to make other cuts, but like on guaranteed contracts, it knocks them down to, I think it's 14 at this point.
Okay.
And that's with, we found out yesterday, Doug McDermott's contract is a one-year league minimum deal with a $750,000 guarantee.
Okay.
And Orlando Robinson is on a one-year deal with a $500,000 guarantee. And there were a lot of teams like sniffing around Orlando Robinson for a potential two-way contract during the summer as well. And he chose to sign with the Kings on a regular contract, but he basically got that two-way money guaranteed.
Okay. Is this something... This is kind of surprising, though, no? That they went this route?
I mean...
What was their other option instead of waiving him?
Well, I mean, their other option was to like promote someone else to one of their other two-way players to a regular contract or waive one of their two-way players and convert his Exhibit 10 contract into a two-way contract.
Okay.
That was a possibility, and then that way he would make the like $550,000 for being a two-way player.
Right.
But
and their two-way players are Isaac Jones.
Isaac Jones, Isaiah Crawford, and Mason Jones.
Okay.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, so as of right now, I mean,
that's interesting.
I think it's very possible we'll see a lot of cuts today. This might be their cut down day. And then, like what we saw yesterday, there was a player that, what was it, Antoine Davis, that the Kings may be signing to an Exhibit 10 contract. Again, they couldn't sign him to an Exhibit 10 contract until they had an opening. And
right.
This creates an opening to sign somebody else. And then when you waive them, you're able to give them a little bit more money for when they go to the G League.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So Boogie Ellis has been waived and he may be back with Stockton. He may go elsewhere.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. A door has been opened for him to go wherever. And there's a possibility he has. I've heard he has offers to go overseas. It's possible he'll go overseas and he won't go to the G League.
Yeah.
That's the door is always open for that.
Yeah. I think I don't want to be callous here, but dude's turning 24 in December. He was going to possibly be on a two-way, but probably spend most of this year in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this is some catastrophe. He looked nice in the preseason a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, there are so few of these situations that turn out where,
right.
You know, like... It's really tough. Who's a...
It's the classic... It's this happens in the NFL all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You get an undrafted rookie who comes in and has some really nice fourth quarters in the preseason.
Yeah.
And the it's like, oh my God, you got to figure out a way to keep this guy on the roster. There's a kid named Jason Poe. I think his name was Jason. He's an offensive lineman out of Mercer and had a really nice rookie year camp with the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big discussion about, oh my God, do you keep him on the roster? He's undersized, but man, if you can convert him to center, maybe he's so athletic he can play fullback. There's all this stuff he can do. I don't think he's in the league anymore. This was like 2 years ago. It's how it goes.
It's really, really difficult to break into the league. So
thank you. Yeah.
The other example I would point to that I know has happened in the past was Gabe Vincent. So the Kings had Gabe Vincent with their G League affiliate in Stockton, and he's a Modesto kid, you know, local kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was Stockton or it was Reno at the time. Either way, the Miami Heat swooped in and took him away.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden Gabe Vincent makes the roster. All of a sudden Gabe Vincent plays 68 games 2 years in a row for the Miami Heat. Last year he signed a really nice contract with the LA Lakers and then got hurt. But you're always hoping that you don't miss out on somebody. I'm just not sure, like, we don't know what Boogie Ellis is going to become as a player. And like, again, I think he's perfectly, fine as a training camp invite and, you know, maybe there's potential for him to be much more.
Yeah.
I thought he played really well. But I also think he played really well in comparison to the rest of the young players that the Kings brought mm-hmm. to camp who did not play well at all.
Sure.
And even for the veterans that they brought into camp, no one stood out at all in preseason for me.
Yeah.
Outside of a couple moments for Isaac Jones, maybe some defensive moments for Isaiah Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
But like the group of young players really struggled. It's why a lot of people are like looking at Colby Jones going, what exactly is Colby Jones now?
Boy.
You know, and Mason Jones wasn't able to separate himself at all.
That's where I'm surprised with a guy like Boogie Ellis. And I see people in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
But Mason Jones is the guy, if you were gonna give up a two-way spot, that would seem to be the logical two-way contract to give up to keep a player like Boogie Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, because Mason Jones has not had a good preseason at all. But he was good last year in Stockton. He's been around the league,
mm-hmm.
good vibes guy, good team chemistry guy.
Yep.
And we talked about this the other day when we were talking about the Brett Huff poll on Twitter about Isaiah Crawford, Isaac Jones, Mason Jones, or Boogie Ellis, which one intrigues you the most?
Yeah.
And it's like, as far as intriguing, like upside, Mason Jones is at the bottom of that list, but the Kings aren't worried about upside long term with all three of these spots. They might be with Isaac Jones.
Yeah.
It might be with Isaiah Crawford, but if they need to throw a player in there for 10 minutes because somebody's banged up and then somebody gets ejected and Mason Jones is up with the team, you'd rather it be Mason Jones who's been around the league before.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
That's the logic, right?
Yeah, it's the safety today, knowing hopefully what you're going to get from a player who's played in the league and asking him to go out there and do a specific thing, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to just gambling that someone might be able to fill in.
Yeah.
Like, look, I think we're seeing like this roster evolving nonstop.
Yeah.
I also think we saw way more of these young players in preseason than normally we would because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
And so we were actually able to get a little bit bigger sample size, but I would caution people too, like a 15-minute sample size
in preseason,
playing with the main roster. And the main roster not playing all that well. The main roster had like three or four quarters the entire preseason that they looked good.
Mm-hmm.
So if the starters aren't playing well and then you're peppering in some of these young guys, like they're not going to all of a sudden make the starters look better. That's not typically how it goes.
No, not usually anyway. Yeah. I want to make sure I've got this right before we hang on 1 second. I got to do some producing here. There we go. All right. Anyways, so Boogie Ellis has been waived by the Kings, one of several moves they'll make before the regular season starts. Is there like a cut-down day? Is there a deadline?
You have to be to the 15-man and three two-ways by day one of the regular season, but they have to have cleared waivers by then, so I think waivers is like 48 hours. So you have to make cuts by like probably Tuesday next week. Something like that.
So it's the Kings day one, not day one of the regular season total.
No, I believe it's Kings day one, although okay. You might be right. It could be day one of the regular season, which is Tuesday.
So they'd have to do that by like Sunday.
By Sunday. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
here in the next couple of days, the Kings are going to be making some moves and they might do them all today.
Yeah. I think we're going to get like a pretty big, like, hey, they've waived, you know, Terry Taylor, they've waived Broderick Thomas, they've waived Scalabies here.
Well, you think Broderick Thomas doesn't make it, huh?
Yeah. And like I'm not trying to like disparage any of these guys, like all three of them.
I'm doing a bit.
No, I know you are. I know you are. But you know, like again, this is guys who have sitting there trying to fight their way back into the league, and so you're pulling for these guys to actually have a good camp and make a good impression.
No doubt.
But at the end of the day, you also understand that this is a business and this is kind of how it goes. And the Kings are probably going to go into the regular season with an open roster spot.
Yes.
Because that's what they typically like to do. They may add a player here in the next couple of days, or they may wait until next month, and there might be another team out there that wants to dump a player, and they can absorb that player and maybe get one of their second-round picks back.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I think you know what we're seeing right now is probably close to a finished product going into the season, but you know what this will look like by February, I don't know.
All right, we'll get to Kings roster moves whenever they happen. All right, the Kings played a preseason game last night, allegedly. 113-91, they lost to the Clippers. Look, man, it's yucky. You can tell me it doesn't matter. You can tell me that none of this counts, and I get against the official record, it doesn't. It feels a little yucky. Oh, De'Aaron Fox didn't play. I needed a win last night and got whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, that wasn't fun to watch. Yeah, you know, we talk about this all the time, like the check-in games and stuff. Like, there wasn't any last night, and that was a problem. I do think, you know, there are some things that we can look at from that game. And number one, Doug McDermott showed up and was like, hey, I'm here to shoot. Like,
I got to get a full training camp in today.
Today.
I'm going to play 16 minutes or however many minutes he played.
Oh, no. He played a lot more than 16, I believe. Yeah, I was surprised with how much he did play. And I was surprised that he walked onto the court and was just like, okay, I'm here to shoot.
Well,
like,
dude, Kenny said it. Kenny Caraway of D'Lo and KC fame, 25 minutes for Doug McDermott last night.
Yeah.
Kenny said it. He's going to be able to shoot it till the day he dies.
Oh, totally.
Like that is what Doug McDermott does.
Like I've been in the gym where Peja Stojakovic is sitting there wearing like chino pants and flats and hanging out with a popped collar on his polo shirt, and someone starts feeding him basketballs, and at age 40 he just starts dropping 1-3 after another.
Ridiculous.
After another.
Like, ridiculous.
That's when you're a shooter, you're always a shooter. And I think what we saw from McDermott though was no hesitation. Like, I am here to shoot. And I put out on Twitter, you know, like, let it rain. I put the Philip Seymour Hoffman.
R.I.P.
Yeah, from Along Came Polly, right? Yeah. And people thought I was just throwing shade at him. And I'm like, no, man, that dude doesn't care.
My man's getting shots up.
He shot 11 threes.
Like, he had the second most shot attempts on the team.
Sitting here begging for Keegan Murray to shoot 11 threes, and yeah, sure enough.
Doug McDermott went 4 of 11 from 3. Keegan went 4 of 11 from the field.
Yeah, it's like he understood the assignment.
Yep.
Like, he just...
Hey, if Doug McDermott plays 25 minutes in a game for the Kings, this is the stat line. Like, what he did last night was stat line.
Yeah.
4 of 11, 5 of 13 from the field, 4 of 11 from 3. 5 rebounds, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls, 14 points, and a minus 21.
I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed watching him come off the DHO.
Yeah,
Sabonis knew exactly where to find him at all times. And
yeah.
Like, hey, look at that.
That's why he's here.
Yeah.
You never have enough shooting.
No.
Just don't want to play in 25 minutes a night.
No.
So can I keep it to 10?
Yeah, but like, look,
if
Kevin Herter's not ready for the opener, like, why not?
Wow. It's a close enough facsimile to Kevin Herter for sure.
Yeah.
Look at Charlie. Got his coffee, got his donut. What a G. God, I love that guy. Yeah, man, look, I understand it's not. And by Thursday of next week, when we're talking Kings Timberwolves, I'm not going to be sitting here going, well, remember in the preseason. But today on Friday, October 18th. Yuck. That's what I've got for you. Like, there's nothing anybody's going to tell me about the preseason or about last night's game that's going to make me just feel like, oh, actually, you know what? That wasn't anything. We talked about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, or a couple days ago, I guess. It's not nothing, but how big of a something is it?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of a something, and there's just nothing anyone can say. You can talk to me about last year's preseason. Yeah, and last year's preseason, they won 46 games, and it was a disappointing year.
Yeah.
I'm not latching on to last year and going, oh, hey, but they were actually still pretty mid last year. I have way higher expectations for this team, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe I was expecting this level that they're just not going to hit yet. Maybe that's a December or January thing, and I'm just way off base. But what we saw in the preseason, and particularly into last night, I figured last night, no James Harden for the Clippers. Terrence Mann did play 11 minutes.
No Kawhi Leonard.
No Kawhi. Norman Powell, 14 minutes. Bones Highland got a start and played 26 minutes. I like Bones Highland, by the
way.
But it just, that was not, I didn't like it. I don't feel good about it.
Watching Amir Coffey tear you up is not usually a good way to end.
Amir Coffey, nice player.
Yeah.
Really nice player. Shouldn't be cooking like that against you.
Yeah, and I would say this too. Like, there's no momentum built coming out of preseason, and someone could say there's never any momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a week off. Like, what are you looking at? Like, but there's no good vibes coming out of preseason for sure. And then we get to the final game, and, you know, I'm not gonna, it's not that big of a deal that De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk didn't play,
mm-hmm.
but if they're not playing, I'm confused why DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray are playing. And, you know, and not only that, but playing, you know, Keegan Murray played 29 minutes. You had 27 for Domas. You had 26 for DeMar DeRozan. And it felt to me a little bit like, Kyle, when your boss goes, hey, we have a thing on Friday night that you should probably go to. It's not mandatory, but, you know, if you want to go, you know, and you're like, okay. And then you're sitting there talking like, hey, are you going to this thing on Friday night? And someone's like, oh, yeah, dude, that's one of those things you need to go to.
Yes.
And someone else is like, well, yeah, I'm not going to go. Like, it's not mandatory. And you're like, oh, okay, so should I be there? Should I not be there?
Mm-hmm.
I should probably be there.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this game kind of felt like. You had some guys that didn't play.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, and maybe that was the plan, was to play those guys 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they just came out, and there was no point in that game. They were down 65-38 at the half.
Oh, it was ugly.
Like, man, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
So that's just, like I said, by Thursday of next week, we're going to be looking ahead, and what does the rotation look like, and Fox and Monk, it's a bonus, and all NBA and All-Stars and this and that. That's going to be the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But my job here on the radio, our job here on the radio, as we sit here on Friday, is not to talk about what we're going to think on Thursday. It's about what we think right now. And what I think right now is, bleh.
Hey,
quote me.
You can quote Kyle. And shout out to our guy, Gary Gerald. I don't know if you guys caught this, but during the telecast, they decided to go paperless there in the arena. So Gary was not getting his box scores. He wasn't getting anything brought to him. Not only that, Their monitors weren't ready and up because they're still working out the kinks.
So he's just winging it?
So Gary Gerald had zero box scores. He had zero stats coming to him. They were able to finally eventually get a laptop up, and he was able to get some stats from someone who was helping him. But it was like a disaster. And at one point he's like, can somebody at least tell me, like, what are the Kings shooting from three at this point? Because it's 5 of 19 or 5 of 25 or whatever it is. And finally someone did. I started screenshotting the live box and sending them to Gary during the broadcast. I felt so bad for him.
That's funny.
And it's not a great seed, and you're way up high, and now you're...
New arena you're not familiar with.
And a bunch of young players that you have no idea who they are on their team, and you're trying to get those player names right and stuff. And so, like, shout out to our guy. He did, like, the best work possible, but he was not at all... Like, he was not happy.
That's so disorienting. When you've done the thousands of games that he's done.
Yes.
And you've always done it. Okay, there's going to be, okay, monitor's down. That's fine. You can get by while a monitor is down.
Yeah.
Right? Or haven't gotten the box score yet. Yeah, that's fine. You work through it. There's like little way. Oh, this headset's down. Okay, I'm on a stick mic for a couple of quarters while they figure out. There are little things that you got to do that kind of throw you out. In that instance, in this setting, new arena, so you don't know exactly where to look to find stuff.
Yep.
New building, it's just new view, different weird thing. Now you have no stats and a bunch of players you don't know.
Yeah.
Oh God, that's... Shout out to G-Man.
I don't know who Jordan Miller is, who Kobe Brown really is. I know who Kai Jones is. Braxton Key, Alondis Williams,
yep,
Cam Christie,
mm-hmm.
Elijah Harkless.
Obviously.
But
any relation to Mo?
Could you, I don't know, could you imagine trying to call a game, figure out who the players are, put all these things together, but not have your basics that you rely on, which are, you know, and again, you're going to look at a box score like, okay, I don't know who that player is. He just got a rebound. Oh, it showed up in the box score. Now I know who that player is.
Yeah.
None of that. It's all gone.
Oh.
And paperless. Oh, we're going paperless.
And this is an NBA, this when I was calling baseball at Sac State, they played like a NAIA school,
yeah,
which is the level below NCAA. So there's Division One, which is Sac State or Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, whoever, right?
Yep.
Then there's Division Two, then there's Division Three, and then there's NAIA, which is a separate governing body. And Sac State played this NAIA school. Well, the Division One schools, you get like packets of information. And if they don't give you the packet of information, you can go find it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They have stats on their website, right? The NAIA schools, because they don't have these crazy budgets, you get like a sheet of paper that has the roster on it with like height, weight, and where they're from.
Right-handed, left-handed,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. What and I think we might have gotten like batting average.
Okay.
Or just bare minimum.
It's like pitcher, least, relief pitcher. Yeah, that's
yes,
it.
Yes. It's just not even that, just pitcher. This guy pitches sometimes.
Pitches.
Maybe. but at least in that setting, it's college. We're on the official Sac State broadcast.
Yeah.
But it's college sports. it's a Wednesday afternoon against an NAIA school. Like, the only people listening are people's parents. Like, in that setting, we can have fun with it.
Yeah.
And at least we know. I can't imagine G-Man doing that last night.
Well, and add to
an NBA game.
Well, not only an NBA game, but they simulcast the game. So he's calling the game on TV and on the radio. And you're sitting there like, oh, man.
What a mess, dude.
A good PR team for those guys, they'll get handouts every time out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get a box score handed to them every time out so they can keep track. Because there are things hidden in the box score like points off of turnovers or fast break points or second chance points, biggest lead changes, all those things.
Yeah.
It's all built in. Yeah, interesting.
You got to know. Your monitors are down. Help out the broadcast.
Yeah.
So I know there's a printer in that building somewhere.
Yeah, they said there was no, the printer wasn't like installed yet or whatever.
Oh, good.
I was texting with him, like, I could just sense the frustration from him, like, I don't know what to do. Like, yeah, crazy.
Anyone have a check-in game last night besides Doug McDermott?
Yeah, Doug McDermott. I don't know. Like,
Domas had a couple of check-in games. Domas is here. Domas is ready to play.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Domas is ready to play. DeMar DeRozan, we counting that first game?
Okay.
It's 6-for-6?
Yeah, we'll count the first game.
Okay.
He checked in. First
Keegan?
Game. Yeah,
Keegan. 5-for-11.
Yeah, Keegan had the 5-for-11. He also had an 18-point game, I think, where he didn't hit threes, but he was solid.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's still 7 boards, 3 assists last night. All right, that's fine. Jordan McLaughlin, sure. He's around. Keon?
No. Keon's had 2 games where he's in double figures. I guess you could look at those and say, okay.
But with Keon, like, last night, 4-for-9 from the field, 1-of-3 from 3. Okay, that's not the end of the world. He had 10 points, but no boards, no assists, couple of steals, no blocks, 2 turnovers, 4 fouls. Keon's a guy, I need you to impact the game elsewhere.
He's a guy, though, we're gonna realize it looks just way better with 4 starters.
Yeah, 1,000%.
I mean, that's just, it's kind of who he is at this time. And as long as he's hitting his threes, he's playing good defense, he's not making mistakes, then you're going to be good. I thought Jordan McLaughlin had a really rough game. But again, that's why Jordan McLaughlin is a guy who's going to play, you know, 12 to 18 minutes a night as your backup.
Yeah, you're not relying on him night in and night out to be an impact player.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. It is Socktober. I ordered socks. I got socks coming. It says by 10 p.m. tonight. That would be annoying if that got dropped off while the building was closed.
Oh.
I'm hoping they don't just leave it outside.
Oh, that would not. Well, if they did, then hopefully an unhomed person would find those socks.
Or somebody would understand what the goal is and contribute or distribute those where they should go. But Socktober's here. People need socks, and we're working with the Gathering Inn to distribute socks to the unhoused here in Sacramento. Bring your in-the-package brand-new socks to 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 here in Roseville. That bucket out there is starting to fill up. Salute to anybody who's come by and dropped off some socks. We appreciate you immensely. I've got a bunch of socks coming from Amazon. If you can't make it to Roseville and you want to ship some socks here, let me know and we can coordinate that too. If you want to order some socks off Amazon or wherever you order socks from.
Okay.
We will. We can set that up too. Just let us know. That is Socktober. And a little more housekeeping. 4:30 today, Game 4, Yankees Guardians. Game 3 was a barn burner. We'll get into what happened last night in Cleveland as the Guardians beat the Yankees 7-5 in 10 innings. We'll talk about that. But Game 4 tonight, 4:30 p.m., coverage begins on ESPN 1320, Yankees Guardians ALCS. Okay, tons of Kings, tons of NFL, and a little bit of baseball to get to on the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Typically, 10:30 on a Friday, we've got Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy for Fantasy Friday. Here we go. Excuse me. No Faraz this week. Oh, a little bit of a scheduling conflict. That's fine. He'll be back next week. We'll be good to go. Right. We've been answering your fantasy questions. James and I have. Are we doing this with the in-depth research and knowledge that Faraz does? Not even close.
No.
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
But if you need a couple of guys to make picks off vibes, let us know.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/ESPN1320.
I have played. This is my 35th season playing fantasy football, and I do typically play pretty well. So, you know.
Yeah, Najee Harris, 925 legend, Antioch legend, for sure. I'm out. I'm out. I don't want any parts of him in fantasy. Manny asked, is Juwan Jennings healthy? Doesn't look like it. He'd no-go in practice the first 2 days this week. I'd be a little bit surprised if he is a go this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, yeah. So we can do that kind of throughout the show today.
Yeah.
Somebody has an intriguing fantasy question. We can get into it. Yeah. We're helping your teams.
I know you're out on Harris, but, I mean, he had 106 yards and a touch last week. He had two catches for 16 yards.
How many carries?
14 carries, 106. And he's had basically 14 or more carries in almost every week this season. He just hadn't been very productive.
I mean, that's kind of his whole career. The volume's there. He's just...
yeah. But, you know, that was a good week. Like, in my league, he scored 18 points this last week. So... and he had the big dive we talked about.
The dive
for the touchdown.
Yeah, that was nice.
So I'm not totally out.
All right.
Anyway.
Very good. Hey, before we get back into Kings and get into the Niner game, because the 49ers are lying. The 49ers are lying out of their asses.
Okay.
And we'll explain here in a second, but I really want to talk about this baseball game because we got a doozy last night in Cleveland, a Progressive Field. Cleveland's up 3-1 in the eighth.
Okay.
Aaron Judge, game-tying two-run homer. Giancarlo Stanton, next batter, solo shot.
Crack.
Yankees up 4-3. Yankees in the ninth, Gleyber Torres, sac fly, makes it 5-3, and it feels like this game and series are over. It just, the Guardians just can't quite keep up. They're just not in the same class as the Yankees. But hey, tip your hat. It's a good series, good season for the Guardians, and... Yankees are going to go up 3-0 and eventually punch their ticket to the World Series. And then Cleveland gets a runner on in the ninth. There's two outs. And the big Christmas.
The big Christmas.
Comes to the plate.
Oh! Oh my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree!
Get in your bag, BA.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. John Kenzie Noel. The biggest swing of his life.
And he knew it, too. See the dismount?
Yeah.
My man knew that was gone. So John Kenzie Noel ties it
in the ninth. Can you, no, there we go. We're good. He ties it in the ninth. Oh, wait, hang on. Before we get to the, next one, John Kenzie Noel, 6'3", 250.
That's a big man.
Absolute unit of a person.
So, and the way that that started, they got a man on to open that inning and then rolled into a double play. And then dude comes up and ropes a double to give them a second, to give them a base runner and a little bit of life. And then I've told you, Kyle, it's always the randos. It's a randos in Major League Baseball.
We also have the next home run that Cleveland hits, spoiler alert. Here's the Spanish call of the John Kenzie Noel home run. This is unreal stuff.
El lanzamiento viene al plato. ¡Batazo!
¡Profundo! ¡Feliz Navidad! ¡Feliz Navidad! ¡John Kenzie Noel! ¡Acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre!
Is Big Christmas the best nickname in sports right now?
I think it's the best nickname.
It's Christmas. So good.
I mean, I get it, the Noel thing. That's, yeah.
No,
so I totally get it. Man, what a call. That Spanish call that was for baseball. That sounded like a soccer call right there. That was nuts.
Meeting the moment for sure. So one of the things that MLB does is in the postseason, they go away from the runner on second to start extra innings.
Okay.
In the postseason, you don't get the free base runner. It is, you're playing it out.
Oh, so it's back to
normal,
like, for hundred years of baseball. Yep. We did something
you were playing
one way.
All right, 10th inning that is just the inning.
Okay.
Okay. Which I love, by the way. That is the correct thing to do. Shout out to Major League Baseball. The Yankees go down in the 10th without scoring. The Guardians get a run to the third with two outs. And they set up David Fry and Brian Anderson of TBS. Take us away.
In game three, Fry, deep drive, left field. Fry's watching. It is a walk-off home run. David Fry lights up the Cleveland night.
Incredible. And shout out to Brian Anderson for letting the crowd take it.
Both times.
Lights up the Cleveland night layout.
Brilliant.
Brian Anderson, friend of the program. Incredible. Incredible stuff. And just an amazing baseball game, too. Small note with the Guardians. Did you hear they make the Mario coin noise when a runner crosses the plate?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, I just
love, like, everything that's happening.
The call gave me chills. Like, both of them. He talked a little bit more the first time, mm-hmm. but you have to, because it's Big Christmas.
Yeah.
But still, to let it breathe, let it have life. It's just such a great quality in a play by play call.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Great.
So
stuff.
Good.
Great stuff.
I love baseball, man. Playoff baseball. It's just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Just there's something, and with the walk-off home run, the thing I love about a game-tying home run or whatever is the crowd all in unison realizes it's a home run.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody at once stands up and goes batty as it's leaving the yard, and then it actually leaves the yard, and there's that second, like, pop once it actually leaves the yard.
Yeah.
Man.
I love it. It's when a big shot goes up. And you're waiting, and then boom, everybody up. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Oh, the greatest. Anyways.
I love sports.
Game four tonight, Yankees Guardians, 4:30 p.m. right here on ESPN, 13:20. Cannot wait. Last night made me lock into that series.
I know.
It was just kind of, all right, the Yankees are going to steamroll.
And what a call by Stephen Vogt to put Big Christmas in that spot.
Yeah, pinch hit. Although that makes sense. Hey, guy that's 6'3", 250, we need a home run. Go. Somebody, you do it.
Who can hit a homer?
13 jacks in 67 games this year
for
the Rook.
He's got some pop.
Shout out to Big Christmas. Okay. Back to the NFL. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. We're the Insiders. We hang out with you every day from 10 a.m. to noon right here on ESPN 1320. The 49ers are lying. At least some of them.
Yeah.
because the prevailing thought in their Super Bowl rematch with the Chiefs. Now, granted, not just a Super Bowl rematch, but a two-time Super Bowl rematch. A team that they have not beat in the Kyle Shanahan era. The Chiefs beat the brakes off the 49ers in Kansas City in week three of the 2018 season when Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL. That was the Patrick Mahomes second year where he just kind of took over the league and the Chiefs went to the AFC title game while the 49ers stumbled to a 4-12 finish.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, the very next year, they meet up in the Super Bowl. Niners 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes brings the Chiefs back. Chiefs win. 2022, week seven, they meet up again. Christian McCaffrey's first game, close-ish, and the Chiefs end up pulling away. Did everything they needed to do. Jimmy Garoppolo threw a really bad red zone interception in that one. Christian McCaffrey not yet fully integrated into the offense. Chiefs win. A lot of Mecole Hardman jet sweeps in that game. Niners just had no idea. And of course, we know what happened in this past Super Bowl. The 49ers can sit here and say all they want. Oh, this is just another game. Big game for us. Need to go get a win, but you know, we're not thinking about the Super Bowl. We're not thinking. Liars. The lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
A rookie? Maybe. Maybe Malik Mustafa's like, nah, it's just week seven. It's the Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes. That's crazy, but it's just an NFL game. But there's no way. Now, I understand the 49ers aren't going to go in and be like, it's revenge time, because it's not. There's nothing you're ever going to do to avenge two Super Bowl losses.
Nope.
There's not, especially in week seven. Like, it's just not a thing. But you really think that Fred Warner, when he's breaking down the huddle before the game, or when, because the position groups, when they all come out, they all huddle up real quick before they get to their individual drills. You think people aren't going, hey, they got us in the Super Bowl. Let's get him today. Let's get him this week. Like, that's 1,000% a thing everybody's going to say. Anyone going, hey, doesn't matter. Hey, the uniform doesn't matter. We're approaching this the same way. Liars, dude. There's no way. You're human.
I don't think that there's ever going to be a game, and he won't ever let this on, where Domantas Sabonis isn't very, very, very excited to play against Draymond Green.
Yes. Yes.
Like, if one of these games he accidentally catches him with an elbow to the head, okay.
I think Domas is too nice of a guy to do that, but yes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a shock.
But going into a game, it's in the back of his mind, like, if I got a shot here, maybe I would do it, but he's too nice of a guy, so he won't.
Yes.
But still, every single time from here on out, like, he is A-OK playing against Draymond Green and wants to like go out there and club him.
He's going to tell you, it's just another game.
Just another game.
BS. Draymond could be playing for the Warriors or the Pistons or the Hornets or whoever. Yeah. He's going to get a little bit fired up for that game.
Yep.
From now until Draymond's not in the league anymore. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't hate, like, I'm not, this isn't hating on the 49ers or for Domas or for any athlete who goes, yeah, no, this isn't, because you're not going to, I understand why you don't want to be like, yes, we want to go get this game very specifically. We want this game. Because then that overshadows the importance of all your other games. And I get it. And you don't want to emotionally, you don't want this week to turn into your Super Bowl, basically, where you go beat the Chiefs and all of a sudden it's like, we did it! Conquered the mountain, and then you face plant against Dallas next week.
Yeah, that's not what.
And now you're 4-4 going into your bye week anyway. And so I understand that. I just think that if any 49ers player is going in to this game, any 49ers player who was on the team for the Super Bowl is going into this game without a little chip on their shoulder or a little extra edge or that thought in the back of their mind. Like, okay, this play went wrong in the Super Bowl. I need to make up for it today. They're lying. It's just human nature, man.
Yeah, I totally.
Unless you're totally devoid of emotion, in which case.
Yeah, I kind of want them to be up for it. I want them to come out and
you'd hope so.
Punk them, and I just, you know, again, they're not playing at the top of the highest level. Neither are the Chiefs.
Right.
I mean, the Chiefs might be 5-0, but don't. They're not playing at the highest level I've ever seen them.
The same way the Niners are a couple of plays from being like 5-1.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are a couple of plays away from being like 2-3.
Oh, no, totally.
Yeah, it's just how, but the Chiefs know how to win those games and the 49ers have not.
Yeah, and there's also the fact that the Chiefs had just played teams that didn't come up with the like basic rudimentary plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mahomes has given up the ball in like crucial spots in mm-hmm. the fourth quarter, like a couple of times where like in a tight ball game.
Yeah, so you had week one. I was going through this on Candlestick Chronicles. That's a podcast I host with Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee. We're going through the Chiefs schedule, and it's really funny because we keep talking about this. But Baltimore week one, the Chiefs win 27-20 as Isaiah Likely's toenail comes down out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
Chiefs win. Week two against the Bengals in Kansas City. That was the fourth and, 20 pass interference?
Mm.
Where the safety just ran through the back of the receiver. I think it was Rashee Rice.
Yes.
It might have been Xavier Worthy, whichever one. It was a single digit. Just runs through instead of going around and trying to make a play on the ball, just ran through the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a penalty. Easy call. Chiefs go down and win it. The Falcons, 22-17 in Atlanta in week three. That was the game the Falcons had a 4th-and-1 at the Chiefs' 13-yard line and ran a play that lost 3 yards.
Oh, yeah.
The Chargers, the Chiefs beat them 17-10, and then New Orleans, 26-13. New Orleans is not very good.
Yeah.
But even that, I think, was a 3-point game going into the fourth quarter. The Chiefs defense, though, man, that's what stands out to me. You know, we can talk all about Patrick Mahomes and their struggles on offense, but the Chiefs defense or ability to just get off the field and on 4th-and-1 come up with a big stop in a 3-point game against New Orleans going into the fourth quarter, shutting them out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
This is where, that was the game Derek Carr got hurt. I think Jake Haener finished that game. But that's what scares me about the Chiefs now, is every game is going to be close. You're not going to blow them out. And if you have a close game against Patrick Mahomes and the ESPN 1320 crew is his receivers, and with the Chatty House as his offensive line,
yep,
he's going to figure out a way to win it.
He's still going to find a way.
One possession game, yep. Either way. You got to score. Their defense is getting a stop. They need a score. And you feel good about Patrick Mahomes getting it.
Oh, no, totally. And I'd say the one thing that separates these two teams right now that I've seen watching a ton of both teams is the simple fact that the 49ers on third down can't get off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense can't get off the field on third down. And it's happened too many times this season. And the Chiefs, when they need a stop, come up with a stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between being 3-3 and being 5-0. And it's just the little tiny things. Because, again, the Chiefs haven't blown anybody out. Even that Saints game, there was an opportunity there for the Saints to come back.
Yeah.
They just, you know, again, they weren't able to pull it out, mm-hmm. especially with Carr being injured. But, like, look, overall, I don't think that there's a lot separating these teams. But in the NFL, like, these little mistakes are what the difference is between being great and being a solid team.
If the 49ers and Chiefs are evenly matched, which Vegas says they are, it's a 1.5-point spread.
Mm.
If these two teams are evenly matched, the reason you lean Chiefs is they have figured out a way to win all of their games, and the 49ers have figured out a way to smoke 3 of their games.
Yeah.
Against the Vikings, needed a stop, couldn't get it. Against the Rams, several things. Need yeah. a catch, need a stop, need to not have a punt return to the 50.
Blow a late lead.
Blow a yeah. late lead, need to make a field goal. And same thing against the Cardinals. You're up 13 at halftime and you can't put that game away.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are elite at putting games away and the 49ers are bad at it this year so far.
So far.
They put a game away against Seattle. That's a nice start. Mm-hmm. But Seattle and the Chiefs are a long way away from each other.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Big difference there.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. We're talking Kings, we're talking 49ers, and we got Don. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
Hey, I hope it's okay if we switch it up and talk about the Raiders.
Yeah, please. What do you got?
So, heading into week 6, you got Devontae being hurt and asking for a trade, and then the wide receiver 2 and Jacoby Myers is also hurt. And they decide to do a switch up at quarterback, which I don't mind seeing what AOC can do, but he's playing a nasty Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and the only guys he can throw to is Madison, which is a running back, and mm-hmm. Brock Bowers, obviously. So should I have any optimism for this team this season or just stick to red zone every Sunday? Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much, Don. Appreciate the call. We were going to get to this, so we'll just get to it now. We'll put a pin in the Niners stuff. We got more on that for sure. The Raiders are in the toughest spot you can be in. Justin is walking around brushing his teeth again, by the way. Just walked by our studio toward his studio brushing his teeth. Insane. The studio at work is the if I'm listing all the places in the universe that I want to be brushing my teeth, the studio at work is the bottom. It's the last one. It's the very bottom of the list. You could tell me I'm like in church in the Vatican. I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. I'll brush my teeth there. In studio, I don't want to go to break while I'm brushing my teeth.
Oh.
Insane. Anyways, the Raiders are in the toughest spot you can be in because you're looking at this week. Let me get their schedule pulled up here. You're looking at this week and you've got the Rams. Winnable game. The Rams are not great. The Rams are 1-4. And you've got the Rams. Now, granted, LA coming off their bye. And you're going to SoFi Stadium, but that's going to be a home game for the Raiders. That's a winnable game. That gets you to 3-4. Then you play the Chiefs. Don't love that. Don't love that spot. Now, they beat the Chiefs last year with Aiden O'Connell starting on Christmas. They went into Kansas City and won that game. Okay. But do you feel good about them winning that?
No.
No. Can they? Yes, you can win any game. Any team can win any game in the NFL. But they're not. I don't think they're winning that game. Then you got to go to Cincinnati, probably facing a very desperate Bengals team, scratching and clawing for their playoff lives. Okay. That's another tough spot. Now you're looking at, even if you win this weekend, you're looking at 3-6 going into your bye week. After the bye week, you have to go to Miami. That's a TBD game, depending on Tua.
Yep.
But then you've got Denver. You're at Kansas City. You're at Tampa Bay. Home Falcons. Home Jags. At Saints. Home Chargers. And if you're a good team, you're going, okay, you don't feel too bad about that schedule. Like, Falcons at home is one you can probably get. Jags at home is one you can probably get. At New Orleans. New Orleans isn't great. Dennis Allen might get fired. Like, they looked terrible last night.
Yeah.
We said that game was going to be ass. I didn't even make it to the halftime.
No.
Like, ugh. Just get it off. Get it off my TV. Yeah. I don't want to see it.
It was absolutely gross.
And then Chargers at home, you know, TBD on Justin Herbert's health. But the Raiders are in that spot of mediocrity where, for me, okay, if they try and win the rest of their games, if you're the most optimistic Raider fan, you're looking at like 8-9.
Mm-hmm.
If you're super optimistic, and you're probably closer to like 5-12. I think as a Raider fan, the question from our caller was, do you stick to red zone? No. Never stick to red zone when your favorite team is on. That's my philosophy.
Okay.
But be ready with it. Have red zone on standby. Start out watching the game, see how it's going, and then switch it up when needed. But this is a winnable game. So I would say watch the Raiders this week, because this is one they can get, and I don't know how many more of those they have.
Yeah, look, I've covered the Kings forever. The Kings were this exact same situation for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ben McLemore, Nick Stauskas, De'Aaron Fox, when they got the Fox pick, that was the 8th pick in the draft. They moved up to number 3 and the pick swap moved them to 5. The Marvin Bagley draft, I think they were 8 in the draft order, moved up to number 2. Like, perpetually at number 7 and number 8 is an absolute death song in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You can find great players there, but more often than not, the great players, the franchise changers go 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so rough. I mean, again, the entire 90s, the Sacramento Kings did this. Like, Walt Williams, Lionel Simmons, Bobby Hurley, Jason Williams, mm-hmm. all of them are like the 7th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
That's what happened. When you have the 7th pick in the draft, it's like the worst place to be. And the Raiders last season, we talked about this during the season, they were at one point, they were the 4th pick in the draft. And they're like, oh no, we got vibes. Let's go win a couple.
Mm-hmm.
No, vibes just cost you the chance to have your franchise quarterback.
Maybe.
Yeah. And it's tough. And it's like the vibes didn't carry over. And now you don't have a franchise quarterback. Well,
and that's why this year is tough. Are you, if you're a Raider fan, do you root for them to lose? Are you rooting for the tank?
Maybe.
And going, yeah, go 3-14. Let's get the first pick or maybe the second pick.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's catching Carolina.
Right. In which case, Antonio Pierce is probably out of there. probably, especially since vibes were the whole reason he stayed around, culture was the whole reason he stayed around, and then you have this kind of season. Like, that just, that's why this is such a brutal spot. Because the right thing to do is to probably tank. But if you're tanking, it probably means you're getting rid of your coach, and now you're in a search for a new coach.
Yep. You're spending a bunch of money on that coach that you just fired and his staff because you gave all those guys multiple year deals.
Right. And you signed Christian Wilkins to this big deal thinking that you were going to be more competitive than you were. So if that's now your timeline with a guy like Christian Wilkins on a was it 4-year contract?
Yeah,
it's probably got a year or two left. Yeah, so you figure their goal is to contend relatively soon. I don't know, man. To me, I'm in your camp. Go 4-13. That would be my hope for them.
Yeah.
Because I think long term that's better. But like I said, if you're an optimistic Raider fan and you're looking and you're going, okay, they beat the Rams 3-4. Can you split with the Chiefs and Bengals and get to 4-5 at the bye week and figure some things out at the bye week? And then you beat Miami after the bye. Okay, now you're 500.
So you're talking yourself into mediocrity.
And then it's Denver. Now you're 6-5. but like I said, even if you're the most optimistic fan and you're beating Denver and you're going to 6-5, at Kansas City, let's call that a loss. You're 6-6. At Tampa Bay, let's call that a loss. You're 6-7. Now you got to win out against the Falcons, Jags, Saints, and Chargers to just make the playoffs. And that's like super optimistic.
Yep.
So I'm sticking around this week if I'm a Raider fan. I'm sticking around watching this game this weekend. But I think for the long term, I think them losing as many games as possible is probably the move.
No, I think so too. And but you
it's
also
tough to root for that. It's really tough to root for that.
I don't think there's any shame in flipping over to the 49ers Chiefs game that's playing at the same time.
Yeah. Weird schedule this week. We'll talk about that. I see Mitch in New Jersey. I see you on the line. Hang in there, bud. We'll get to you on the Elk Grove Kia talk line next. And we got more Sacramento Kings to get into as well. Also, what are they teaching at UNC Chapel Hill? I have questions. All that in the second hour, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.